Dear friends in Christ, every day the news is filled with twists and turns and unexpected events. While the continuing pandemic has shifted our patterns of daily living and seemed to slow us for a time, the changes keep coming at breakneck speed. I record this sermon 6 days before you're viewing it, not knowing what changes will come in the interim. We are learning to expect the unexpected and to see our expectations turned on their heads. That learning about seeing expectations turned is training ground for the gospel that we heard today, because this narrative, and in fact, the whole of Jesus' life, tells a story of expectations turned around as God does new and surprising things. One of my favorite hymns, the Canticle of Turning, is all about how God turns things around. My soul cries out with a joyful shout that the God of my heart is great. And my spirit sings of the wondrous things that you give to the one who waits. You fixed your sight on your servant's plight, and my weakness you did not spurn. So from east to west shall my name be blessed, could the world be about to turn. The turning of the world began when the angel declared to Mary that she would bear the Son of God. Mary shared that news with her relative Elizabeth, and then she sang words of praise that we call the Magnificat, that are paraphrased in this canticle of turning. The turning of the world continued when Mary's boy child was born and when he grew up and began to teach. God is coming, Jesus said. Repent, for the kingdom of God draws near. That was the very first thing that Jesus preached. God's world of perfect justice is coming. And when it does, everything will be turned on its head. The world as we've known it, this broken and beautiful, the divided world, will be perfected. And a perfected world will be so different from what we experience now that it will be as if the world has come to an end and a glorious new age will begin. My heart shall sing of the day you bring. Let the fire of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near and the world is about to turn. Jesus' starting place for fulfilling that promise was the heart-turning love of God. Jesus had deep compassion, God's compassion, for all people in love. He healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf. He made the lame to walk. He forgave sinners. Jesus began in love, and he multiplied love when he invited others to join in community with him. Jesus didn't try to go it alone. He never thought that because he was the Son of God, he didn't need anyone else. He rejected the sin of rugged individualism and established community, a beloved community of friends from all walks of life. Though I am small, my God, my all, you work great things in me. And your mercy shall last from the depths of the past to the end of the age to be. Your very puts the proud to shame, and to those who it for you yearn. You will show your might, put the proud to flight, for the world is about to turn. Jesus sent those followers into the world in love. He empowered them to do the very work that he himself was doing. The healing of the world, Jesus showed, is not only about healing physical and mental illnesses in individuals, but about healing broken relationships and broken communities. The healing of the world requires the healing of corrupt systems. And so Jesus determined that he would go to the halls of power. He would go to Jerusalem, the center of religious leadership, the center of political leadership, the center of economic leadership in his time. And in Jerusalem, he would confront the powerful for the sake of the poor, the marginalized, and the dispossessed. From the halls of power to the fortress tower, not a stone will be left on stone. Let the king beware, for your justice tears every tyrant from his throne. The hungry poor shall weep no more for the food they should never earn. There are tables spread, every mouth be fed, for the world is about to turn. Jesus would confront and challenge the powerful with God's truth. He knew there would be a price to pay, a terrible price, the price of his own life. Jesus knew that because he'd read scripture and he knew what happened to the prophets who spoke God's truth to those who didn't want to hear it. And he knew what would happen because he could read his own time. And so on the day that we remember today and hear about in the gospel, the day of his transfiguration, Jesus took his friends to pray with him for strength to face the ordeal to come. Just days before, Jesus had told his friends that the Son of Man would be handed over and would be killed. Jesus needed time apart from the press of daily life to pray his way into that coming reality. And there, on the mountain, as he prayed, Jesus was infused with God's presence and God's power. He was filled so fully that God's blinding light blazed through him. He was filled so fully that everyone could hear a voice proclaim, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Empowered by that light and that voice, Jesus set his heart and his face toward Jerusalem. My heart shall sing of the day you bring, let the fire of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near, and the world is about to turn. And in Jerusalem, everything did turn. The political, religious, and economic leaders conspired to have Jesus executed brutally, unmercifully. The turning of the world, it seemed, came to an abrupt halt. Jesus' mission, it seemed, failed miserably. And of course we know and celebrate that Jesus' death on the cross was not the end of the story. On the third day, God raised him to new life. Talk about turning things around. God raised Jesus to new life. Jesus lives still. Jesus lives now. And he will come again. In the meantime, terror and division and fear still have a way in this world. The divisions between our government leaders are sharp. Weather patterns on our planet continue to change dramatically, threatening communities and cultures in the most vulnerable parts of the world. The coronavirus continues to rage, the pandemic does, as we near 500,000 deaths in this country alone. We face new variants of the virus, and we experience a slow rollout and delivery of the vaccine. And through all of this, our awareness of racial injustice in our nation grows. As we recognize how climate change and the coronavirus and divisiveness in our government affects persons of color and the poor disproportionately. We know all too well from our own experiences that God's work is not yet complete. God's kingdom, for which we pray every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come," that kingdom is not yet here in its fullness. And still Jesus lives. He is here. Christ is here. And he empowers us to be his hands and his feet, his eyes and his ears, to do his work in the world. He empowers you and your congregation to worship and gather in new ways until we can all safely gather again together in our church buildings. He empowers you to keep praying and taking other concrete action for the healing of the world. We have great reason in this, great reason to hope, because in you, in us, in those whom Jesus loves, the light of God, which blazed through him on the day of his transfiguration, that light still shines in the world. It shines in you. It shines in us. Though the nations rage from age to age, we remember who holds us fast. God's mercy must deliver us from the conqueror's crushing grasp. This saving word which our forebears heard is the promise that holds us bound. Till the spear and rod be crushed by God, who is turning the world around. And so, despite the risks, open your heart, open your community to God's turning. Spurn the sin of individualism and celebrate your deep connectedness with each other, a connectedness that has not been broken by our distancing during this pandemic. Reach across every divide with arms held wide in love. Do not be afraid, ever, because Jesus is the firm, solid ground, the still point at the center of all of the turning. And Jesus' fierce arms of love will never let you go. My heart shall sing of the day you bring. Let the fire of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near. And the world about to turn.